It's Sunday, March 31st at 11:42 p.m. It's late. It's a good reason it's late, guys, girls. I've just gotten back from a long drive from Detroit. Enjoyed the day with my son. Enjoyed the day with many of you guys. Purdue's going to the Final Four. Your Boilermakers are going to the Final Four. Wow. All right. I've talked a lot. I've texted a lot. I've tweeted a little bit. Tried to catch up with as many people as I could because there's so many people that are, we're all reveling in this together still. Right now I'm watching this, the sidebar populate at hours and hours after the game went final. I want to talk about how my day was, what I saw, what I thought of the team, what I think is ahead. Before I do it, I'm going to thank the people who made my shirt, Home Field Apparel, as I do, as I have this whole season. Head over to Home Field Apparel. Hopefully, we'll get some new Final Four gear from our good friends at Home Field Apparel soon. Who knows? Interboiled 23 at checkout. Get 15% off your purchase. And when you're on campus, you know what you ought to do? You ought to head towards the fire station. And then you ought to go in AJ's and you ought to yell Boiled. And the friendly staff, they're going to put up with you because they put up with me. Adam texted me about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago, and just said, hey, should I stay up late to listen to a post game? And I got back to him after I got settled in here a little bit and said, one's cooking, man. Let's go. Let's go. So head over to AJ's. Adam and Jake and company will hook you up with delicious food and good service. I talked about AJ's three times today in person to different people like you who have gone to AJ's because I suggested it, and that's awesome. That's fantastic stuff. EatAJ's.com if you want to order ahead. It's burgers, beef, beer. That's AJ's on Vine. I've been at a loss for words many times today. Many times today. The blessing that this day has been to me. I can't tell you about how unusual, the old Will Ferrell, I'm in a glass box of emotions when he's Anchorman. That was me all day. I was a freaking wreck at different times, and it would kind of come and go. And I had, from the get-go, we go to our seats. My son and I go to our seats. Actually, let's go back. I can even go back. The day starts, and I can't get into the darn arena because my phone's NFC isn't working. I think I'm using the right term. Tickets wouldn't work. And a couple Boiled Sports listeners, watchers, come right up to me and say, hey, you're Boiler Dowd. And they try to help me rectify the situation. Well, none of us old guys could figure it out, but LBD, the 18-year-old, he came to the rescue, finally got me into the arena. And if you haven't been to Little Caesars, it's a great place to watch a game. It's super unique. I went there years ago, watched Isaac Haas break his elbow there. Not just like on exhibition to watch people break people's elbows, but yeah, I went there a couple years ago, and I didn't get to experience it like I did today. Today, I got to go. I was there early, and I ate a meal. Enjoyed some company with a lot of you guys. I mean, I gotta tell you, like, this is one of the greatest days of reunion I've had as a Purdue fan. And I don't know if any of you guys felt that way who are on site. It was just an incredible, it felt like a giant family reunion. And that's one thing that all the takeaway I'm gonna have about today, when I keep watching videos, and many of you guys are tweeting, you know, sending videos over and bringing to my attention, things like Rob Hummel being overcome with emotion and Matt Painter, the Stone, being overcome with emotion. That stuff warms your heart. And it makes you feel like you're not alone when you are broken down to tears when a team goes to the Final Four. I mean, shoot, I'm hours later and I'm still doing this, going in and out of it. And it's weird and it's fantastic. So getting to our seats, and right away, we're in the corner up in 216, LBD and I are, and we get there. It's a Purdue section, man. It's a Purdue section. Our buddy Billy is there. He's right behind. We get there. Billy is right there, and he says, hey, we're going to get to watch a game together. And I'm like, this is awesome. I can't wait. And so we sit down and I look, I'm like, I've got two Tennessee fans next to me. It's a section of, I don't know how many hundred people are in a section in Little Caesars Arena, but I'm sitting next to two Tennessee guys. And years ago in Louisville, I get all these weird things. I start cross-referencing what's happened in Louisville. My son and I sat next to two Tennessee guys in the corner in the stands, and we watched Purdue beat Tennessee, but I thought about Virginia because that was the game that kept Purdue from going to the Final Four. And I thought about how frustrated I were with those D-bags from Tennessee. They were horrible, those guys in Louisville. Horrible. My son was like 12 or 13, and they're getting his face. I had to get between them, and then the rest, I was like, man, we gonna do this? Are you gonna do this crap? So today I thought the same thing was gonna happen. Guess what? I sat next to two of the most pleasant people. They were awesome. They were actually students at Bowling Green. There's one of their sisters goes to Tennessee. They got the tickets for $5. They were awesome to be there. They were Tennessee fans. They were fair. They were fun. But what a magical day. I think I put the picture of my son and I hugging after Purdue won because I was such a wreck in the last 2.5 minutes. I haven't even started talking about the game yet, guys and girls. I'm sorry, but in the last 2.5 minutes, I don't know how you felt, but I went through 15, 20 different scenarios of how Purdue was going to lose that game. Not because the team looked like they were going to lose it when they got that 6, 7 point lead, but I've been down this road, right? You and I have been down this road. We felt this before. And so I'm going through my head and I'm wrecked. I'm messed up. I can't watch free throws. I'm like, okay, listen, I don't know what to do right now. Nervous, anticipation, whatever you want to call it. Just anxiety. And my son says at like 2:15, 2:30 in the game, they're gonna do it. They're gonna do it. He just confidently says, they're gonna do it. Billy behind me says, they're gonna do it. And I'm like, I can't get there. It's too early. It's too early, right? Anybody who was in that Virginia game, you're like, okay, we were there. It was done thing. And I said to myself, and I may have said to my son, it's gonna happen. It's way different. And so when it hit zeros, man, I was done. I was toast. I melted. I was like a puddle. Just an absolute jackass of tears and incredible, incredible day. So why was it incredible? Well, it was incredible because Purdue fought like hell. They played a bad basketball game in many, many ways. You had a game that was officiated in the way that Purdue really can't afford to be officiated, right? Where you have moving screens being set by Tennessee all day to create offensive opportunity. And you're playing one of the best players in America who absolutely put on a display, and Dalton Knecht played awesome. Purdue was giving him space, but part of it's because I'm telling you, they were running football plays the way they were running screens. Refs weren't going to call moving screens all day long. They weren't going to call guys just beating the shit out of Edie. They weren't going to call that. That was not a foul today. And so that game started out sluggish. Purdue gets down by 9, 11 points, and you think, oh boy, this is teetering. All of a sudden, it's teetering. I saw a tweet by Rob Doster, Field of 68, said, this Purdue start reminds me of UConn's start because UConn couldn't hit anything, and then they turned it on. So I was like, okay, nice. He's trying to hint maybe Purdue's going to turn this on. And I kept saying, water's going to find its level. And then I said at halftime, I'm not as bothered by the way Purdue's shooting as I am the way the game's being called. I think Purdue's shooting will come around, but this officiating really has me because I'm like, we're seeing stuff happen where you're like, okay, that's clearly a foul and it's not being called. Anyway, Purdue had to fight through that. Purdue had to fight through the fact that they shot like 20% from three, the best shooting, 3-point shooting team left, obviously, in the field, but one of the top two all season couldn't hit a 3-pointer. 20%. Mason Gillis, and I was like so happy that in the first half he kept shooting and missing. And then you saw guys starting to tighten up. You probably felt it too, where they were like pump faking at the top of the key. We're not even taking the shot. Edie get his first pass in. Painter says it's his job to okay it or not. If he wants to shoot it, fine, but it's got to go through him first. And then after that, you start running the offense. He get the ball, pass it back. Then nobody wanted to shoot it. There's nobody looking for it. Braden Smith played brilliantly at times today. He was dicing up Tennessee. When he saw the opportunity, he would drive. Same with Fletcher Loyer. Incredible drives, incredible, I don't know what you'd say. He made quick decisions, attacked the hoop. A couple of them were a little ill-advised when you're going into, I've always said, Fletch, if you could just understand that when you got a 6'6", 6'7", power forward in front of you, might be the time to not go up and get that contact, right? Just recognize the situation. Take the drive, dish it, right? Give me a little Braden Smith there. But he kept doing it. He had a couple. He got knocked down hard, weren't called. He had a couple that he got knocked down that were called. He we saw the same thing again with Lance Jones, trying to make things happen, trying to drive. But Tennessee's physicality, they really took the fight to Purdue all day, made it difficult, made it very, very difficult on Purdue. Lance Jones didn't hit a lot of shots. I haven't seen what his stats were, but I guarantee you they weren't happy, happy, joy, joy. But he had one of the biggest threes of the game, if not the biggest. It is the biggest three of the game. Either side, it's the biggest three of the game. And when he hit that three, I think that three put Purdue up by six, if I remember correctly. And shortly after, Zach Edey got on the free throw line again. Another opportunity for Zach. He misses his first, and everybody's like, okay, he's tightening it up. He'll sink the second. And the second, he airballed. And if you're a Purdue fan like me, you're like, holy crap, this is not good. And if you're anything like I was at that point, like I was like not a believer that the game was over, that Purdue was going to win. I was not there yet. I was like, this is bad. And I said to the guy next to me, this nice Tennessee, and I say, nice, good kid, Tennessee fan, kid, he's a senior at Bowling Green. And I said, he's feeling the weight of the world on his shoulders. He feels all of Purdue's pressure. He feels the nation's pressure. Zach Edey is feeling it. I haven't seen him airball a free throw. I don't know if ever. I've seen him graze the rim years ago, probably. I haven't seen him airball a free throw. But he did it. And then Tennessee roared down the court like they have so much, had so much in the game. Dalton Connect tried to said, I'm going to try this guy. I'm going to try the other NPOY candidate, if you will, on the court. And Zach Edey sent him packing. He freaking blocked that shot, kept it inbounds, and that was it. I was like, okay, there you go. That's probably it. That's probably enough. I might be a little off on my chronology of how this happened. This is the way I remember it, though. But in the end, Purdue earns their 33rd victory of the season. They beat Tennessee by 6 points. May have felt like it was easy cruising for you in those final 2.5 minutes, not for me. But damn it, I'm glad they're going to Phoenix. Hopefully you and I will meet in Phoenix. Like so many of you guys said hi to me today. I want to stress this again. What a special thing it was today to talk to so many of you. It was excellent. Excellent. Talked to Brian down near the court as we were watching the golden black confetti fall and watching Zach Edey cut the nets on his bare feet. I think he had his shoes on, sorry. But he was in shoes cutting down nets. I don't think I've seen that move. I know I've seen him do it, trim the bottom of the nets for Big Ten championships. I've never seen it going to a Final Four. And I also have never seen him represent a team like he did. Seeing Gene Katie receive the nets, gosh, that's good for your heart, right? Hearing alums of the program talk so glowingly about the family atmosphere and feeling like you're part of the family, even though you're just the guy who talks about Purdue sports or you're a guy or girl that just loves it. I talked to a grad of 1969 at the end, took the picture of a family in front of the court, and they were so gracious and happy about what has just happened. The weird thing about this game, and I have been this way, I've been at games where it feels like there's pressure, other fans are on you. It didn't feel like that in this game. And at the end of the game, it was amazing. It was all about Purdue. The whole thing was about Purdue. I felt like Purdue was in a world by themselves. Obviously, 80% of an arena is going to do that in some way. But it was nuts. It was great to be there. I hope you were there with me. If you were, man, like I said, I'm just blessed. Happy Easter to you. That's real late to say that, but happy Easter to you and your family. I called my family because I was delinquent. I was a bad son-in-law to my mom and father-in-law and to my mom and dad and all, and my whole family celebrated Easter, and my son and I celebrated Easter in a different way in the Little Caesars Arena and brought home the victory because the Boilers fought like hell. Let's look at the stats real quickly. All right, Purdue wins 72-66. Like I said, their 33rd win of the season. They're 33-4. Tennessee season is over. That's a good Tennessee team. One thing I'd like to do, and Rick Barnes coached really well today. Rick Barnes has a tendency to let his nerves get in his way, and he didn't do that. He let players make plays. He gave it to Dalton Knecht when they needed buckets, and Dalton Knecht delivered over and over. And wasn't that a display of two guys that were are a lot of people who aren't in the Purdue family? We've already come to the conclusion, and many of the media across the nation have said, it's Zach Edey's National Player of the Year award, right? It's not guaranteed, but it sure feels like it today. In a very fitting, dramatic, poetic form, Zach Edey blocks Dalton Knecht's, I think it was his final shot of the game, I'm not sure. Actually, he drove for a layup, didn't he, a minute later. But that was such a freaking great statement. Zach Edey finishes with 40 points, career high. 39 was busted up in this game. As Painter said in the post game, he could have, should have had 50 points if he hits his free throws, if he hits all of his front ends of his one-on-ones, if he just hits his free throws. If he hits them at his normal rate at around 72%, Edey would have had 50 points. Instead, we have to settle for a 40-point game, 16 boards, not many blocks. One block, right? Am I getting that right? One block. Had a couple turnovers. He was getting just raked. He was getting it. He was, from all sides, they were beating him up. I said raked. On the other side of the ball, Dalton Knecht finishes with 37 points, just 3 boards, 1 assist. He is a tough dude to guard. And Tennessee runs a lot of stuff for him to make it easier for him to get the shot off. The really interesting thing is you had these two superstars just throwing haymakers at the other team. They weren't throwing them at each other, right? There weren't many times in the game that those two were on each other. But after Knecht, you had a bunch of guys struggling from the field from Tennessee, and it wasn't just because they are bad players. It was because Purdue's defense was pretty stout at times. Purdue had some lapses, especially early in the game, but pretty damn stout. So you have Knecht go for 37 points, and nobody else for Tennessee get double digits. Ziegler finishes with 9 points and 8 assists. He and Smith were the battle that we thought they would be. They were really, really good at commanding the court, confidently moving the ball, but neither of them played the game I think we've come to, especially on our side, Purdue. I think Smith, of course, is the better player. I think Ziegler is a really, really good point guard. I'd take a guy like that any day in the week if I don't have a guy like Braden Smith on my team, but Braden Smith finishes with 9 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Again, a couple things we've seen over and over. We've seen guys like Edey just go off, and then we've seen Braden Smith come and flirt again with a triple-double. Again, 9, 7, and 7. A pretty damn good day. And the third head of the three-headed monster was Fletch Lawyer. Finishes with 14 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. The turnover monster hurt Purdue a little bit at times. They had a couple where they turned the ball over, and it was just kind of like, what just happened? Like boneheaded passes. Again, we've seen that. That's reared its ugly head a couple times this season. Did today. Purdue stays away from that really bad number of 13 turnovers, which Painter calls that the breaking point for this team generally. They just have 10 turnovers. But it felt like it was not completely in hand, completely safe until those closing minutes, even to the most optimistic of Purdue fans, I believe. Purdue put space between themselves and Tennessee a couple times, and Tennessee fought back. They fought like hell. Pretty damn good effort by Tennessee. Purdue shoots the three-pointer horribly. Like I said, 20%, 3 of 15 from the field. They shoot the free throw really not very good at all, 63% made. But they out-rebounded Tennessee like an absolute mother. And that came on really what was about 10 minutes left in the first half. Purdue started crashing the glass hard and turned up their defensive effort. And that was a big deal. That fulcrum point when Purdue started fighting and saying, okay, if it's going to be a scrappy, ugly, gritty game, a grimy game, then we're going to be able to fight them. And they sure as hell did it. All right. Thanks to everybody's here. Let's see what you guys have to say. First off, again, it's incredible. It's obviously the product is fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about after a big win. It's fun to be in the arena together. It's fun to meet up in Phoenix next week. I'm just going to go ahead in my time machine and say that's going to be fun. But it's pretty amazing to me that hours after the game, we've got 281 live viewers. That is just incredible. It's a testament to this group as a community. Pretty fun to see the names repeating all season. And just like I felt coming into this game, I don't want this to end. This has been fun, and it's been fun to be with this Purdue team. It's been fun to be part of this community. It's been great. Brock Stepler's here. He says, what a feeling, boiler up. Still probably floating, I'm guessing. Many of us are. Andy Day says, yes, sir. Dylan Kuhn, how are you? Let's go. Judith Johnson, there you are. See, it took me a little time, Judith. I apologize. I had to get done. Mark Garrity, go Boilers. Vincent Mostert says, wow, I've really enjoyed the last few weeks. Goodness. I gotta tell you, the drive home, so from Fishers to Detroit, it's about 4 hours. And the drive home was filled with like audio bites, and my son was queuing things up. The presser, the post-game presser, Zach Edey having a little bit of edge to him that I love, but at the same time, it's like, man, that's some there's some tough medicine in there too. Him talking about being disrespected by coaches, and specifically mentioning Rick Barnes. It's probably what you see from Zach Edey. I think right now you see a player that has been holding in a lot of emotion, holding things together, acting professionally, acting buttoned up as he could when he's been feeling it. And that free throw is the biggest indicator. But man, that team had a good time. There are so many funny sound bites from that celebration after the game on the court. So many great moments. Oh, I got to see Chris Johnson, who's part of the creative team, as he left the court. I got to yell at him, and good to see him. I was 10 feet away because I don't have the fancy credentials. But man, I blessing to be around people. That's all. That's all. Mark Garrity, go Boilers. Nick Cristiano says, hello there. How was the atmosphere? We did it. So happy. Incredible atmosphere, Nick. Like I said, 80% Purdue, I would guess. But it was so damn loud at times. Like it felt like Mackey at its peak at multiple times. I'm sure the decibel meter would probably disagree with me. It didn't reach Mackey levels. It was loud. And I hope TV showed that. I think it did. My wife said it was pretty great to hear, but it was a great atmosphere. Being there was great. Purdue fans were awesome. Purdue fans showed out. Purdue fans seemed to be really dialed in. Anyway, boy, the post game was fun. I lingered a long time. Got to Anish and I got to hang around. Maybe you saw that picture on Twitter. That was awesome. We talked at halftime, talked about what we were seeing. Man, yeah, great. And during halftime, we talked to two or three people that are guys and girls that are here like you that watch the show. That's incredible. Incredible again. All right. Sorry. Appreciate all you guys. Pat Goschel says, clink, clink, busted out the good scotch. Okay, so scotch for me is tough, Pat. It's got to be the right scotch. Because if I have scotch after I drink bourbon, it tastes like static for me. And I know it's got to be good scotch. That's what I'm saying. I got to get like a 12 year Macallan or better. And then I'm like, I can't afford this. So, but scotch, not like bourbon for me. But scotch, good, bourbon, good, whatever your preference is, doesn't matter. I mean, it's time to celebrate. Have your favorite drink. If it's Coca-Cola, if it's Dr. Pepper, that's good too. Yoo-hoo, like Yoo-hoo for the non-alcoholic stuff. Rob White says, boiler up. So great, Travis Brandon, choo-choo. Albuquerque Boilers, who has been a force on Twitter. Let's go. T-Rick says, BTFU, man, that was like having a boiler home game in the stadium that big. Yeah, it was awesome. And it is a big place. And it was. Again, the atmosphere was on point. Kevin in Albuquerque says, best feeling ever. It's up there. It's up there. I've got two or three moments that I can think of that were better. It's incredible. And those two or three moments, I'm a baby in those big ones too. I cry. It's what I do. Let's see. Rockstepler says, NC State next. Good. Love this, but job's not done. Let's go Boilers. And one cool moment. And I don't know if they showed this on TV, but I wanted to talk to you guys about this. Thank you, Brock. Was Fletch Lawyer. They focused in on the game had just ended and they're walking to celebrate. And he's kind of like, I don't know, jogging. He has turned from a baseline and he goes, two more, two more. And I was like, that was awesome. Fletch Lawyer gets it. And the good thing is we saw Purdue celebrate today. We had not seen Purdue celebrate. They should celebrate because they've accomplished a lot. What a turnaround again from that dog meat night that you guys were all here for when Purdue lost to the 16 seed. What a turnaround. Are they going to do the same thing Virginia did? Holy moly, this is a harder path than Virginia had. I'll be real honest. Because the reason it's such a hard path, though, is that big monster that's right there in front of them. Connecticut looks incredibly, incredibly tough, incredibly good, monstrously good. NC State is now in front of Purdue. So now you've got, remember I said, what was the feel-good story of the tournament? It's NC State. The problem NC State has, if we're looking at a matchup thing straight up, and we'll talk about this week. We're going to have a lot to talk about, a lot of time to talk about it, which is great. tons of time this week. And there will be tons of content. We've already got a handsome hour basketball beat planned for tomorrow, in case you like that thing, if you're into that format. But NC State has a problem in that they rely heavily on their lovable center. I say lovable because bigger dudes are lovable. It's just the way it is. And they pound the ball into Burns, and Burns makes that thing go, and he just toasted Duke today. Burns toasted Duke. See what I did there? Well, I'm a professional, but that's going to be hard for him because he can push little, lighter guys around. He's not facing a lighter, littler guy next week. We'll see. John Jachna, I don't know how to do that. I'm sorry, John, said, I feel like I'm allowed to have fun with this now. Purdue has played to seed. Exactly. Expectations have been met. Playing to seed, that's what we should really say. Okay, now house money. And what a good position to be house money and be the higher seed. Now, here's the rub if you want to get into one. NC State wasn't the greatest team. In fact, they were one of the teams that a lot of people are like, man, if they don't win that championship, they may not get in the tournament. Sure, but they got in and they are rolling. They've got all the momentum in the world. They're not the best team in the tournament. Purdue has struggled against teams that don't think they can go straight up against Purdue. Now, here's the question. Will NC State say, we're going to go man-a-man, mano-a-mano, down there in the paint with Big Zach Edey? We'll see. That'll be interesting to see. I think they will try some different looks. They also have a power forward, if I'm thinking correctly, a Diarra. Very, very good player. Is that? I think it's Diarra. Very good player. I've been very impressed watching him. Andy Day says two more games. Word. Ken says, listening to Matt and Robbie encounter postgame was eye-wetting. It was really eye-drenching for me. And I've listened to different accounts of it now. I've listened to the press table room when they talk about it. Mercy was great. The pictures are good. Gosh darn it. It was great. You learn a lot about Robbie Hummel. These little windows, we get to hear a little bit more about guys that are part of the family. And there's some good stuff in there. I highly suggest if you see those links, I'll try to repost everything I see on the Twitter feed. So if you haven't seen it, you'll get hooked up. But man, so much good stuff. And the next couple days, guys and girls, are going to be awesome. This is what Jay has been talking about for a long time. Having the media focus on your favorite team for this many days. And it's not spread out over 16 teams. It's spread out over four. My wife and I were talking about this. We talked about the fact that, okay, this is it. I named the four teams in the Final Four tour. And she's like, that's it. I said, that's it. This is it. Rare air. And an interesting Final Four, too. It's not the Final Four that's a cookie cutter at all. Two teams, a lot of people thought they should be in there. Two other teams, you're like, okay, that's kind of crazy they got there. So hopefully Alabama can put in some work, wear out UConn, if not knock them out. That'd be awesome. That'd be incredible. If Purdue play another team, that's a previous win. Alabama is a very good team. UConn's terrifying. Let's be real honest. We'll talk about that eventually. Hopefully we have a chance to talk about it. But they are terrifying. But house money, again. That's a good point. Let's see. Paul S. 88 says, I fell to my knees after 44 years of love and frustration watching our Boilers. I'm with you. And I was like literally crouching down in the seats between, because they had the seats that spring up, you know, like the movie theater style. And I was down like a catcher's position. I'm with you. What a great experience. Tim Schwartzel says, job's not done, but relishing this, and I think we should. I hope I get that idea across. Relish this, and it is not done. And I think there's an immense amount of pressure. Again, like Purdue had the pressure released after Grambling, I think the pressure has been released again. How about that? So do we get to see a loose, fun Purdue team play? I think we do. And I think, like I say, the water finds its level. Does water find its level to the tune of 60% three-pointers made? No way. But will they make a lot of three-pointers? I think they will. I think NC State is going to come at Purdue hard on defense. They do a really good job holding teams in check. I don't want to look ahead too much. Let's keep enjoying. Albuquerque Boiler says, Kevin, let's get all the Boilers. Burquenos? Boiler Burquenos? Am I saying that right? To Phoenix? Yes, everyone should go to Phoenix if you're Albuquerque-based because it's not far away. You should go to Phoenix. Everyone should go to Phoenix. Purdue fans, be like me. Go to Phoenix and figure it out when you get there. Are you going to get in the stadium? Who knows? It's a stadium now. It's not an arena. Or are you going to enjoy the party outside and enjoy the game? I don't have any plans other than to go and soak it up. So that's my plan for the first part of the weekend. And if they are blessed enough to get to it on Monday, I might go to campus on Monday. I don't know. things are starting to not be so nebulous with me, but they're still pretty nebulous. Okay. Patrick Goshall again says, raise your hand if you cried tears of joy. A lot. I'm with you, Pat. Chris R says, let's effing go. Boiler the heck up. Time to finish writing some history for April, where JBird4721 says, I'm shocked you have a voice. Okay. I had many people say that they expected me to be completely hoarse. And I got to tell you, the reason I'm not hoarse is I was taking weird mental breaks during the game. If you know Billy Shankins, Bilbo Shankins, I can't remember his Twitter feed. Once again, a lovable guy. He used to wear overalls. I'm told he's retired the overalls to football games. He's on Twitter. He's an iconic guy, ex-band guy, fun to be around. But you could ask him. I was up and down, up and down. So I wasn't consistently yelling. But when Purdue was on defense, I think that place turned on. And I was trying to do my best to be consistent. But I obviously wasn't enough because listen to my voice. Maybe I'm well trained. I don't think that's it. Rob White says, never thought I'd get emotional, choked up, but choked up quite a bit. Then saw so many great moments. Hummel with paint, Edie giving the net to Katie. Yeah, really tough. If it didn't get you and you're a big fan, man, I don't know how it didn't. And obviously, I'm speaking from my bias place of being a baby. But yeah, it got me over and over. Dylan says, love that you got to spend LBD. It was special. Special. And I told him, I don't know if I put the, like I said, there's a picture of he and I hugging that Billy took. Yeah, it was a great moment. Great day. Great. I mean, spending time, we went there and back in the day. So it's 8.5 hours in the car. Ate a couple meals together, enjoyed the game, hung out with you guys. It was a great day. Great day. And yeah, savor it. Andy Day says, really tempting to make the trek to Arizona next week. Yeah, get tempted. It's okay. Nate Hartman, my neighbor in Ross 8, says, what a showing from the Purdue fans. The arena was 85%+. Purdue fans, what an experience. Never want to live through it again. Never want to live through it again, Nathan. It was pretty awesome. I think here's the thing though. We've just seen. And my gut, and I can tell you what I thought. I put this out to the Boiled Sports guys, and I said, guys, before I say this, I don't think Purdue gets to the Final Four this year. This goes back to November. I said, but if they do get to the Final Four, here's my predictions. They get there, and maybe they fall short, but then they win a national championship because this new look Matt Painter, who's dealt with the stress of a getting to a Final Four successfully, all of a sudden has a different way of handling things in the tournament. So that's my prediction, is this is going to be not an isolated event. I don't know if it's next year, but I do think 2 years from now. That's my hot take, long look ahead. 2 years from now, Purdue returns to the Final Four. And we haven't even been to one yet, but we're close and we're officially in that. Max Goss, haven't talked to Max in a long time. Hope you've been well. I'm late, but I'm here. Let's effing go, y'all. I'm with you, Pete, with you, Max. Peter Miller, not Millar, that's the fashion guy. Peter Miller says, please ask Home Field Apparel to make a We're Effing Winners shirt. I can ask. I can call Connor, the owner. I could text him. I don't know if we'll get that. I don't know if we'll get that, but sure, I'll put the request in. Andrew Schultz says, Purdue would have lost this by double digits last year. Yes, they would have. Also, nice reverse on the 1994 game where Purdue went up 11 early on Duke. Yeah, that game, man, that's a tough one. And the funny thing, you know, Andrew, they were playing that in Knoxville. Knoxville. Weird how everything ties together in some way. But yeah. Some interesting symmetry, all sorts of interesting stories. Joseph Sasser says, we'll catch you on the replay, but man, what a team and season. BTFU with you, Joe. Already bailing on me, though. I'm just kidding. It's very late. Nathan Hartman again says, I hugged a man in the row in front of me that I didn't even know. Thought it was great. He thought it was great, thankfully. Yeah, I hugged a couple people today that I don't know very well or don't know. London Weathers says, this was freaking amazing. With you, London. Tim Swartzel, Robbie got me. Yep. Ed Albanese, the gummy bear king of Indiana, says, hey, finally, go Boilers. Judith Johnson, the Purdue crowd showed up and weren't extra loud. They were awesome. Also says, Hummel stuff sent me over the edge. Yeah. And if you haven't watched, guys and girls, go watch it. Ed Albanese said, all Tennessee fans complaining. It's the ref again. Okay. So I haven't gotten to dig into the Tennessee hate. I did get into a little general college basketball hate of, oh yeah, he's a foul merchant. What's is that the term they're using? And so I'm excited about tomorrow. We've got the higher ground, boys and girls. Enjoy it. Handle ourselves with some decorum, but enjoy it. It's okay to punch back a little bit. Let's do it with class. But we can do it. Andy Day again. Let's see. Andy Day says, I thought for sure when Edie airballed that free throw, we were going to find a way to lose. Yep, I felt that, Andy. I'm with you. Nate Harmon again says, ignore the online whining from Tennessee fans. Who cares? Our problem or responsibility is to correct their ignorance. Yeah, so that's the thing. How do you handle it? Well, it's not, you don't need to bite back the way they do. It's weak anyway. But a little fun stuff is okay. I'm okay with it. Maybe you take the high road. That's good. All the time. I take the high road most of the time, but sometimes not so much. I can't, like I said, when people go after Zach Edey, I don't sit around for that. Mark Garrity says, one of the first things that came to mind when the game ended and Purdue picked their ticket to the Final Four was that you got to experience that in person with your son. Happy you got that. Yeah, that's great. Great, great day. Kevin in Albuquerque didn't feel tense until about 5 minutes left. Once Lance hit that three, I knew they had it. That's better than I felt. Acoldi says, man, I remember this day for the rest of my life. This one's for Hummel, Swanigan, Tyler Trent, Katie, Dissinger, Neil Armstrong. It goes on. We're going all big Purdue family. I love it. London Weathers again says, I think this was it was 5 points with ones with less than a minute. Less than a minute. Thought for sure we would screw it somehow. This team is different. My college roommate, who lives out in Albuquerque, has been saying that all season, and I've been slow to say they're different because we felt that before. But he's been proven right. I've been proven incorrect. You've heard me all season be incorrect, and it's okay. You keep coming back because maybe because I admit it. I don't know, but I have been wrong a lot, and in those closing minutes, I was, like I said, I don't want to say I doubted the team. It's the situation, right? Like Jay said, I think, do we even know what exists after an Elite Eight? We've never experienced it. We don't know what it is. It's all based on theory. Does it really happen? You know? That's a good question. Adam P says, was a wreck for 39 minutes. Okay. So does that mean 39 minutes of game time or 39 minutes of real time? Good question. Vincent Moster says, when Edie missed three of four free throws near the end, I was starting to worry. And I think that's fair. But Fletch hit his to put it away. Yeah, Fletch was money. Fletch has got brass cojones. Ben Kutesh says, I'm killing names today. I'm horrible. BTUF. Edie's block on connect was awesome. Made it. Up for the how rough they played. Looking forward to seeing Purdue folks in Phoenix. We'll be there. Rahul says, my brother lives in Chicago and can't make it to Phoenix. So rather than that, meeting up a few fellow alums in West Lafayette to watch games, two more, we got this. Rahul, tell me, I believe you're the guy that saw me right after I just got done gathering myself. I believe you are. And saw me just after I was done crying. It was awesome seeing you, and thank you. What a nice fortuitous blessing just to have another person in our section that we had connected virtually, and then we got to be in person. That was awesome, great moment. And I think if my brain's telling me the right thing, I think you're the guy I connected with. Motor City Boiler says, still can't believe what I saw. Motor City Boiler, Motor City represent. It's now a magical city. It will be always a magical city for Purdue fans. Purdue's good in Detroit. IC says, let's go boiler up. Adam P for the rest of the afternoon. I felt this isn't real. And yeah, I get that. Breezy's McCheezy's, or is it Breezels? Breezels McCheezels says, such a magic Easter for Purdue Nation boiler up. Yeah, a lot of things lined up pretty well today. Nate Hartman says, my heart was elevated from the moment we got on the road to the drive to Detroit this morning. Yeah. Nicole has a couple comments. Let's see. Man, Lance Jones' dad was on the call with Clisby in heaven. That's one of those things that crushed me. Rob Blackman talking about all the Purdue family that didn't get to live, that wasn't on Earth to watch this game. And Rob put it pretty well, saying they saw it. I think it's what he said. And that's what I always say. They saw it. They were there with us. Cliz was there, saying bullseye, right? That was special. A lot of the Purdue family members that didn't make it, they were there. But Gene Cady being there in person is really awesome. Multiple Purdue fans saw him. He gets wheeled around now at times. And I don't know if that's normal or if that's... He was in a wheelchair at times today. Probably just because it's a long way to get around the arena. But yeah, it's incredible that he got to be there and that Zach honored him with the net. All good stuff. Adam P. says, so many Boiled Sports plans for... So, any Boiled Sports plans for Phoenix? Yes, they're tentative right now. I have to tomorrow. I really need to book flights. So the plan right now, I can tell you, is LBD and I are going to Phoenix and hope to see you guys there. I've got some creativity to try to make things work. By the way, live viewers up to 600. Gosh, you guys are nuts. It's 12:22 a.m. You got to get rest. You got to go to work tomorrow. Ed Albany says, Connect was amazing. He was great. He kept him in it. And Edie was amazing when Purdue wasn't hitting shots. I mean, it was two just absolute geniuses at what they do, at their craft, doing their thing. And in Colorado says, so wonderful. Let me see. I'm going to go down here, see if there's somebody here. That William Shank says, oh, hey, buddy. Ken says he was gassed. I'm skipping down here. Sorry about that. Adam P. says, did you lose your hearing with the Edie block and the Jones 3? That was an awesome stanza. Incredible couple of minutes. So much fun. South End Boiler says, LBD, we'll talk about your day together. Talk about your day together with his grandkids someday. True Father Sunday. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. Agreed. Yeah, we're not going to do this right now. Like Rob Hummel. Don't even see him coming when you feel like you're getting emotional. So there, man, the conversation's awesome here. I could be on for another 45 minutes and it's almost 1 a.m. I'm going to try to honor people that I haven't read their messages yet. So I apologize as I'm skipping over. There's so many of you guys, but let's see. Karen Gerlach says, I'm still at a loss for words. Crying tears yet? Not me. You can tell I'm all buttoned up. No problem. Tyler says, let's go. Let's see. Boy, you guys are great. So many comments here. Boiler Max says, props to Tennessee fans for not throwing golf balls at the end of the game. Right. That's a big move forward. That's really good. Jason Ringer says, what a ride, B. Dowd. We lost our grandpa, Purdue Kim E., class of 58, back in July. I felt him and the other Boilers we've lost through this run. My mom, dad, and I will be in Phoenix to finish it. It's real stuff, guys. Real stuff. Real stuff. Real talk. It's good. It's good. Like I said, it's Easter, guys. And if you're like me, you know that this life is temporary. And thank God for God's grace. But you lose somebody, it still tears you up. Especially somebody when, you know, they're like this would have been a fun day to be there with them. I get that. Sean Garner says, agree with Derby, too many teams. Well, gosh darn it. This is John Reinhart says, win the whole damn thing. Yep, I'm saving that GIF. I'm going to use it again. He doesn't say damn, guys. Derby says, Final Four will be limited tickets. All teams get the same. No home crowd Saturday. But that's okay. It won't matter. And I talked to the guys next to me, the Tennessee fans that were next to me. Like I said, these guys are fans of Tennessee because they were friends of or family of somebody who goes there. And they were, like I said, these guys, good dudes. But the thing that's so special about college basketball, that environment is where, okay, even Tennessee was outnumbered, there still was a lot of Tennessee energy there. Pro sports aren't this way. And when you get to the national title, even though they're cavernous, those venues are so huge, it's still pretty awesome to feel the shifts of the fan bases, right? And then when a fan base gloms onto a team, like, here's the thing. The problem Purdue has in Phoenix, the biggest problem Purdue has is if you're not a Purdue alum, you're going to be rooting for NC State. That's a big deal. And in those big football arenas, that can get loud. It's kind of weird loud, right? When a football arena gets loud for basketball, it's kind of a almost a delay loud. You know, it's the sound moves out oddly. So we'll see how that goes. But everyone's going to be rooting for NC State, and that'll be different. Let's see. Derek Sullivan said, flights booked, hotel confirmed, tickets purchased, wouldn't miss it for the world. You are way up on me right now. I got so much work to do. Ross L says, Kent Sterling is my source for IU info. He's a likable and logical guy. I don't know if that's a reference to something else. Kent Sterling, I'm glad you like him. Nolan23 says, as for Clisby, Marty Davenport says, our fans in Detroit held themselves with the highest decorum. Very, very proud to be a Boiler today. Very good day for all of us. Adam P says, anyone know if there's a general group of seating sections that are mostly Purdue in Phoenix? I don't know the answer to that. I hope we can, let's talk about this on Twitter or maybe in the comments below. Let's see. Ron Gable, who I didn't get to see today because nothing freaking worked, we got to talk. Ron was in Detroit all weekend. He's a good fan. He's the best sports fan, best sports general fan I know. Full stop. One of the best Boiler fans. But he goes to everything. He's an amazing fan. He says a UT fan kid, probably 10 to 12 years old, snarky and loudly asked his grandma, if Purdue had a football team. That's funny. That's funny. I think Ron knows this. Clearly was too young to recall 2021 Music City Bowl. Parents clearly misleading children. Ron and I were at the Music City Bowl together. We walked across the bridge to and fro. It's a fun walk on the way back, by the way. That Music City Bowl, because that bridge is long and it's hard to get people out of there, everything but that walking bridge. You are in there with the enemy for a long while. So that was pretty fun for the winning Boilers after that really long game. But yeah, that kid, poor parenting. That's all. Rose Adams says, boiler up. Ron, sorry, I missed you again today. Seriously. Chris says, wow, guys, amazing game. Just rewatched it, boiler up, and I'm going to watch rewatch tomorrow and watch a lot of stuff. I cannot wait to watch the YouTubers talking about this on the Sports Nation. Gosh, oh, this is fun week. The one Marat says, I live in Phoenix and it's a dream come true. Shopping for Saturday tickets as we speak. Hope you find them. If you get some an inside track on where I could go to get some, let me know. If they're ridiculous price, I'm not gonna go into the stadium. I've watched games in football stadiums. It's kind of sucks unless you get really good seats, which I'm not gonna get because I'm cheap. So yeah. If I go to Phoenix, I don't get in the stadium, I'm okay with it. Honestly, if I get there and I get in there, that's incredible. That's a bonus. So, let's see. Track Dog Crow's Nest says, I'm 56 years old. So many heartbreaks. I remember my dad taking me to the 1980 Final Four practice at Market Square Arena. I thought of my dad who passed in 2018. Dang, damn it, you guys. You're killing me. It's awesome. And then the tears of joy came boiler up. Love it. Love these stories. Love it. Love it. Yeah, it's great. My dad was at the 1980 Final Four in Market Square Arena. And yeah, my dad's still around. I'm just, yeah, I love these stories. These are great. Oh boy, I'm looking ahead. Nolan23 says all the court storms over the last couple seasons is the fuel. Yeah. That's a good point. We've seen a lot of that garbage, and kind of all makes it worth it now, doesn't it? All the bull crap is worth it when they do this. When they get to the Final Four, it feels all worth it. Derby says, all Boiler fans get to come into work 2 hours later. I declare it to be good. If Derby says, then that's good enough for me. That's really, really good. Dylan says, first stop post game was the cemetery to my dad. I know he's watching. And I looked down, Dylan, and I knew you were going to mention your dad. And yeah, he was a huge Purdue fan. And that's awesome. That's awesome. T1D Steve says, that was awesome. A Motown takeover by our fans. It was a show of force, quite frankly. Purdue fans were great. Boiler suit says amen, brother. Boiler salt. Okay, Boiler salt says amen, brother. It was an awesome. It was an awesome, awesome environment. Before game, during game, after game, awesome. Setchison. See, some of these names are hard. Some of these aren't fair because they're like made up internet names. Like that's one. I can't be your name. Setchison says, next two games are for Cliz and Gene. Boiler up. Let's finish this thing, guys. Girls. Andy in Colorado. I'll be in section 453 myself. So Andy is now gloating that he's already got tickets. I bet Ron has tickets too, Andy. I do not. Nathan Hartman says, thanks for the post-game stream. Boiler Doug, congratulations, everyone. We're getting close and we can say goodnight. 50 minutes is a long time. Joe Garnett says, Music City Bowl was much better than the one versus Auburn. I was at both. I left the one on Auburn early, which I don't ever do, but I was like, it's okay today. It's okay. It's time to back out of here. That was a rough one. Stayed for the whole one versus Tennessee for some reason. But let's talk Purdue basketball. Yep, Chris Feltz says, congrats, Boiler Nation. Might as well win the whole damn thing. Choo-choo. Choo-choo mothers. He says toot-toot, but I say choo-choo mothers. John Reinert, Purdue owns Tennessee. Tell that to your 10-year-old. Yeah, and this is a real thing. It's a real thing. It's multiple sports. I didn't really want to talk about that ownership of a program, an athletic department, whatever you want to say. I didn't want to talk about that before the game. So I think you can talk about it now for a little while. Yes, they absolutely own Tennessee. We can go back there. Joe Inslee says, Zach is on a mission. This is a year. See you in Phoenix. Dylan says, love you, Dad. Love you, Dylan. Thanks, brother. Tom Ray says, the amount of hate toward Edie's lack of fouls has reached peak levels. Apparently, Tennessee fans are the worst in the league. I can't wait to get on Twitter tomorrow and eat some, just chew on some of them. I can't wait. I'm not going to do it tonight because I'll stay up even later. Nolan 23 has a really good point. How am I supposed to sleep? It's a good point. It's a really good point. I mean, it's 12:30. I'm not tired. Wade Ledbetter got rid of his message, and I haven't seen any other Wade messages, so I was ready to read that. And finally, Vincent Mosher says the final message of the night. Good night, all. God bless. It is not Easter anymore. It's the day after Easter. It's 12:34. You guys have stuck it out. You came here for a very, very late post-game live stream. 760 of you came for this. That's awesome. Wade Ledbetter has his message now. Book my tickets to Phoenix. I owe this to Wade because I kind of called him out. I'd love to say this is the beginning of a run of Final Fours, but I've regretted not going to the Rose Bowl for 24 years. Yeah. When Tiller went to the Rose Bowl, when Tiller took the Boilers to the Rose Bowl, I was at that one. So jump on these opportunities and don't act like they're coming, even though I think there's more coming. If you can go, and I know a lot of people can't, there are a lot of good reasons that you didn't go today. I'm sure of that. But if you can go, go. Because they are fun. These events, they are fun. Like I said, it's a family reunion. You're going to see people you know, people you haven't seen in a long time, people you've never met and you didn't know were your friends. You're going to become friends with them, even if for a minute. You're going to hug people. You're going to hug strangers if it goes well, like Nathan did. I think it was Nathan who said that. It's pretty magical. Go to these events. Go to these games. They're great. It's worthwhile. Jennifer W. says, March is officially over and Purdue is still playing basketball. It is April 1. We are not fooling. That could have been a good headline, but no fooling. We'll work that in this week sometime. Again, happy belated Easter now. I can say that. God bless you guys. Hammer down. We're in a new world. Purdue is going to the Final Four. They're going to Phoenix. See you there.